Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Corps Team.
Hello, Army families, and welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. This is show number 483, and I'm your host tonight, Janet McIntosh.
And I'm your co-host, Paula Swanson. Today is Monday, August 4th, 2014, and we're glad that you've decided to hang out with us tonight.
And as you all know, there's always a party going on here at Army Wife Network. So if you're listening to us tonight, we want you to join our show live right now in our Twitter party chat, where you can talk it up with the rest of the AWN Core Team. An easy way to do this is by using the app Tweet Chat. So you can tune into the show by going to blogtalkradio.com/AWTR, and then you can also open tweetchat.com, type in the hashtag ArmyWife, and you can follow along with our great conversation. Now, besides the awesome chat and our great guests, we have lots of giveaways that you'll only catch on Twitter, so you won't want to miss out. Of course, you can always follow along by just being on Twitter.com, following Army Wife Network. And again, remember to use the hashtag ArmyWife to participate.
And tonight, the show is brought to you by your very own AWN Core Team. Did you know that there are a few veterans on the AWN Core Team? Yep, Janet is one, and Corey, they're both veterans. So you can follow them and the rest of the team individually on Twitter or, of course, follow AWN at Army Wife Network.
Now, tonight on AWTR, we actually have a senior airman, Cameron Futral, who was featured on National Geographic's Inside Combat Rescue, The Last Stand. If you'd like to follow along, you can follow Nat Geo at Nat Geo on Twitter. If you'd like to visit their Facebook page, you can do that at facebook.com/NatGeo. And you can also follow them. You can visit their website, which we'll post that link in our Twitter chat for you if you'd like to learn more about the actual special Inside Combat Rescue. And then we also have our relationship minute for you. But before we get to that, my favorite part of the show, we have some catching up to do, Miss Paula.
Yeah, it's been a little while since you and I've hosted together.
I noticed. So what's been going on besides a new bundle of joy I hear or I've seen on Facebook?
Yeah, we've got a new extended member of the AWN Core Team. I am Grana times two. My second grandson was born Friday at 4:17 p.m., weighing a whopping 6 pounds, 2 ounces. And 19 and a half inches long. So welcome to Lucas Miles Tucherone. So he joins Big Brother.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. He joins Big Brother Landon Connor, who is 4 and a half. And about an hour after Lucas was born, Landon wanted to know when he was going to get up and walk and play with him. So it's like, buddy, you got a little bit of time for that.
Yeah, not quite yet. He is precious, though, Paula. The pictures you posted, he is just the most precious little thing.
He is. He's just a tiny little thing and real, real sweet disposition. And, yeah, so my daughter and son-in-law, of course, are just over the moon excited. And they're enjoying it and learning what it's like to have two children now. And so lots of kind of little life changes going on with our little family with the addition of Lucas. And then my son left last night to go back to college to get ready to start his junior year in college. And
oh, okay.
So, of course, he's my youngest. So it's kind of neat to see that transition going on.
Yeah, he's getting close to the end, too.
He is, yeah, and he's an ROTC cadet at UTC, University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, and absolutely loves it. So it has been a really, really busy week in my life, quite honestly. A lot of personal stuff with the family going on, but all fun.
Before you get to me, though, I want to hear about your next Citizens Academy. What's with the maybe or maybe not?
Because
we know this is your thing, Miss Paula.
anybody that knows me knows that I've become what another friend calls himself as a Citizens Academy junkie. I've actually, I know. It's all good. It's all healthy and everything. So, but I've applied for the Metro Nashville's Police Department. Citizens Academy, which is a really long academy. It's like 13 weeks. So it meets,
oh, wow.
It meets one evening each week, I think on Tuesday night. And so I have applied. I don't know that I'm going to get in this time around, but I've at least applied. And
What do you have to do to get into that?
Well, you've got to do an application, and you've got to kind of state why it is that you want to be involved, and what your goals are, I guess, for doing it. And because I have gone through the FBI and the TBI and the THP, adding Metro Nashville would just kind of round out all the other academies. But because I do have that experience of going through other academies, I could understand if there's a first-time person that's applied that's not gone to any of the academies, that they would, of course, choose them over myself, which is fine if that's what happens. So I can just apply again later on. But, I like to be involved and do volunteer work and that sort of stuff. And law enforcement is always something that I've been interested in. So it's all fun.
Well, I know you're
what
exceptional
about you?
At it. So.
Oh, well, thanks.
Well, I mean, I'm not prepping for anything. Let's put it that way. I'm done prepping. We've had the vacation, and honestly, it felt more like I just gave myself another work project than a vacation. I'm like, I don't know how many of our listeners have experienced that, where you think you're going on vacation, and it just doesn't feel like a vacation. I need a vacation from the vacation. So... it was great, though. I got to see family, and that was important to me. I haven't seen my family down in Miami for a while. We went to Legoland and had a blast. My son, it's like my son's Graceland. Like, he was just in awe, of everything. The people in the little stores where they sell the Lego sets were just infatuated with him, because he was just like, oh, my gosh, look at this. Oh, my gosh, look at this, And so they were really getting a kick out of him, and so he had a blast at Legoland. Then we went on down to Miami and visited with some of my family. Like, both my grandmothers live down there still. A lot of aunts and uncles are still down there. So we got to visit, which was nice. It was just like on the go, on the go, on the go. And it's like, I just want to stop. just stop it.
Yeah.
So I came right back, and literally the very next day after getting back, I had to hop a flight to D.C. because my work with Blue Star Families took me to D.C. to attend the Military Child Education Coalition conference. They have an annual training that they do each year in July. And it's really a big conference. I didn't realize just how large it was. And I was there as a vendor, not as an attendee, to kind of engage people about Blue Star Families and let them know about some of the resources we offer and such. But they had us in the main staging area. So anybody that presented on that main stage, I kind of got to peek at. And so I did get to see General Dempsey, and his wife were there. I even posted a video. He sang for us. So it was
I saw that.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to be the first to get this on social media. He was really a joy, though, to listen to. They got to interact on stage with military kids. And they got to kind of ask him questions, and he got to respond and stuff. And so it was really neat to get to see someone, one of our leaders like that, getting to interact with some of our military children. Of course, which that conference, you know, is all about is our kids and being better advocates for our military children. And then I came home and immediately had to prep my own military kids to go back to school, which is tomorrow.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah,
awesome.
They go back tomorrow.
Oh, did I say that? I'm sure every parent is feeling that.
I know, every parent's like, gosh, I hate you right now, Janet. Except for those that live in Georgia. I know everybody in Georgia is like, yeehaw.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, they go back, and I mean, Aiden, you know, he's still in elementary school, so for him it's just, you know, normal routine. But my daughter is a freshman in high school this year, so she's kind of making a pretty big transit.
Wow.
Yeah, believe me, I'm with you.
Wow.
Like, where did it go? Like, how did that happen? And but she's got to get up, like, in order for her to ride the bus, which is kind of, I know it's kind of silly because the school's, like, literally 2 seconds from our house, but I don't feel comfortable with her walking without a buddy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just not ready to let her walk without somebody. And our neighbor, her daughter's a freshman, but she doesn't want to walk. She wants to take the bus. And the bus, they have to be out there at 6:30 to catch the bus.
Wow.
And I'm, like, looking at Alina, like, you know that means you got to get up at, like, 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
But she assures me that she can do it, and she's really excited. She got into this, like, my daughter's really into, like, she's very good at science and math, and she's very into digital technology. She wants to design video games. And so she got into a digital technology course her freshman year there. So she's extremely excited, and she's also participating in JROTC with the high school. So she's very excited about that as well. So that's a little – I'm not ready to see her in that uniform.
Yeah,
you
really.
Know, I've only ever seen my husband in it as far as, like, our family. And so it's a little weird. I feel connected to you now, Miss Paula.
Because
I'm like, it's so weird.
You know, the first time I saw my son in uniform, I was just like, oh, my gosh. It was just – wow. But at the same time, you'll have the, you know, I know that you're so proud of her too. And you've got the experience too, girl. I mean, you were a veteran and you're a veteran and you served. So that's awesome that she's going to continue on just like you and her dad.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I don't know if she'll ever, you know, take it beyond high school or whatnot. I mean, but I do have a newfound appreciation, I tell you what, for our military parents out there, because it is a very different feeling when it's your child. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, I stand by my husband, and we've been doing this for almost 18 years now, but when you see your child put that uniform on, it's like,
oh, I know.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
It's a very different, feeling. But that's why I love following your stuff, and I love that you talk about that a lot on the Loving a Soldier blog, because I think that's definitely a voice that people need to really listen to and understand what it's like for military parents.
Well, it
very
is, and
different.
It's like, you know, you want your kids to feel comfortable. It's like my son came to me, I guess it was last weekend, and he was like, so, Mom, and you, when he starts that conversation, you're like, yeah? He's like, so,
oh, God.
What did you think about me? Yeah, he's like, so, I'm thinking about putting in a Special Forces packet. What do you think? I'm like, heck yeah, go for it.
Look at you. I would
like,
probably pass out.
No, he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, go for it.
That's so awesome, though. That really is awesome. I do know that we have hit our time. It is time to go and find out what is happening over at Army Wife Network. So let's get to it.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives. A network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
Hey, check it out.
So, topic this week over on our Facebook page on Army Wife Network was a German officer has been selected to serve as the U.S. Army Europe's Chief of Staff. He's a German Army Brigadier General who recently served with NATO forces in Afghanistan, and he's assuming duties as the Chief of Staff of U.S. Army Europe. The first time a non-American officer has held that position. So you can definitely imagine why it's been a hot topic for many of our fans over at Army Wife Network. If you're in our tweet chat, we'd love to hear your thoughts, what you think about a German officer leading our forces in our Europe areas. So it was definitely very interesting, read. We'll post that article for you in our tweet chat so you can take a look at it if you haven't read it yet. And then feel free to share your thoughts with us. We want to know what you think.
Absolutely. And what was hot over on AWN this week, we try to look for a blog or a column that really kind of speaks something and is interesting and does a lot of has a lot of traffic to it. So hot on AWN this week, we asked Amanda Morgan, who is a veterinarian technician and an Air Force spouse, for her tips to keep our four-legged friends cool on the scorching hot and humid days, which we know that most of us are. Although the summer is winding down, which is kind of hard to believe because it's still pretty warm here in Middle Tennessee, and we'll have some cooler days ahead, it's still a warm one in many parts. So to find some great pet owner info, if you head over to Loving a Soldier, you're going to see it under lovingasoldier.com, protecting pets from summer heat. And of course, there's a lot of, you know, tips that everybody needs to be aware of. And even, I mean, I know that a lot of people don't realize it. And unfortunately, because I've had personal experience when I was not home, that I lost my pet to heat distress. It doesn't take long. That's really all I'm going to say there. So it's a great article if you go over to lovingasoldier.com, protecting pets from summer heat.
And then over on our social media roundup, we try to choose something from Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or YouTube to share with you guys out of all the amazing resources we offer. One is our Resource of the Week videos, and we post these on YouTube on a weekly basis, Resource of the Week Friday, I like to call it. And we have one to share with you by where we kind of took an inside look at military by owner. These are great videos that kind of walk you through these resources and show you just exactly what these resources can offer you and your family. So be sure to check it out. We'll post that link for you in our Twitter chat party as well.
Lots of good information. I mean, you can find all kinds of stuff in all of our social media outlets because we really have some cool stuff that is posted there. So feel free to get on there
and
share,
and on our
too.
Exactly. And on our resources, if you guys head over to armywifenetwork.com, you can actually find our resource database where you'll find all of these resources, tons of them actually, but you'll also find the links to the ones that we have featured on our YouTube Resource of the Week. Or you can head on over to youtube.com/armywifenetwork. And you can see them all there as well. So be sure to check that out because we've got tons of great information for you over there.
And don't forget that you can also subscribe to the YouTube channel and get emails, updates when there's a new one loaded too. So that's always a good way to stay in the know. So, but last but not least, that's right. Got to be in the know. Last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them at least 10 days in advance. If you do, please send it to info@armywifenetwork.com. And tonight we have U.S. Army Arts and Crafts, Resiliency Through Art Initiative. The U.S. Army Installation Management Command partnered with the American Art Therapy Association and Family and Morale Welfare Recreation Arts and Crafts staff to develop the Resiliency Through Art Initiative. These are conducted art engagement sessions that help active duty soldiers deal with stressors associated with reintegration upon returning from war. The Resiliency Through Art Initiative supports the Army's comprehensive soldier and family fitness program's goals by providing soldiers a calming, stress-free activity that they can enjoy on their own or even with their families. According to the AATA, families who participate in art activities together often strengthen their relationships through shared enjoyment and the discovery of new strengths. MCOM will continue to encourage arts and crafts program managers to collaborate with community partners as a way to sustain and expand the Garrison Resiliency Through Art program. The goal is for MWR to provide a relaxing, safe environment that fosters resiliency through a creative, unstructured environment. MCOM will continue to work with Garrison Arts and Crafts staff to increase the awareness, solicit command support, and provide follow-up training. You can find this information at army.mil/stand2, and we'll also have that link in our tweet chat and online for you to be able to look that up. So that's it for our PSA. Coming up next, after these quick commercial breaks, is AWN's own News 6 Gen bringing you the need-to-know stories. We'll be right back.
You are a waste, a loser. Everyone hates you. Why don't you just stay in your car and keep driving? I'm serious. Drive until you run out of gas and get out of your car and walk until you find someone who doesn't think you're dumber than bricks. Could take a while, but at least all that walking might burn a couple of calories.
You may not witness bullying like this every day. Your kids do. They want to help, but they don't know how. Visit StopBullying.gov to learn safe, simple ways your child can help stop bullying. Be more than a bystander at StopBullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details.
You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6 again, bringing you all your need-to-know news. In our top story, the U.S. Senate passes a multi-billion-dollar bill to reform the Veterans Administration. In a 91-3 vote on Thursday night, the Senate overwhelmingly approved a new bill that will cost $16.3 billion to reform the Veterans Administration. The House version of the bill was also passed by a large margin, 420-5, on Wednesday. President Obama is expected to sign the bill into law within the next few days. The new bill will make it easier to fire senior VA officials for incompetence or poor performance. The bill also allots $10 billion to expand private care options for veterans who face medical appointment wait times of more than 30 days or who live more than 40 miles from a VA health care facility. An additional $5 billion will go towards hiring more clinicians and starting minor repairs of existing VA hospitals and clinics. House Veterans Affairs Chairman Jeff Miller said the $5 billion was just a start and more money would be allocated to repairing more VA centers in later appropriations bills. The bill will also pay for leases at 27 new medical facilities in 18 states and Puerto Rico. Other proposals have been added to the bill, such as setting in-state tuition rates for any veteran attending a public state school using the post-9/11 GI Bill and extending housing funding for veterans with traumatic brain injury. In our next story, the U.S.'s oldest living female military veteran gets a special trip to D.C. Lucy Coffey is 108 and the U.S.'s oldest living military veteran. She has dreamed of traveling to Washington, D.C. and visiting the Women in Military Service for American Memorial, and last week she got her wish. Coffey was a member of the Women's Army Corps during World War II. She served in Australia, Dutch New Guinea, and the Philippines, earning 2 Bronze Stars along the way. Coffey's trip to Washington included a stop at the White House, where she spent time with President Obama and Vice President Biden. She also visited the National World War II Memorial, where she met former Senate Majority Leader Bob Dole and Senator John Cornyn of Texas, before continuing on to her final destination, the Women in Military Service for America Memorial. While at the memorial,
Coffey received a personal tour from the president of the Women's Memorial, retired USAF Brigadier General Wilma Vaught. In our final story, a soldier's family takes her son's final wishes to heart. It's been a decade since Army Sergeant Trevor Blumberg asked his father for two things if he didn't return from his deployment to Iraq: to take care of his puppy and his guys. Blumberg was killed by a roadside bomb just days after getting to Iraq. In the 10 years since, Bloomberg's parents, Terry and Jan, have honored his wishes by using his death benefits and insurance money to build a 3,500-square-foot house on 12 acres of land in northern Michigan that they use as their retirement home and a retreat for soldiers. For the past 2 years, veterans who have served since September 11, 2001, have been welcome to stay for free at the lodge for up to 5 days. It gives people a place to relax and come down and maybe clear their head, Bloomberg's father, himself a Vietnam vet, said. When I came back from Vietnam, going out in the woods was one of the ways I took care of my problems. There's joy every time we have someone come in here, said Jan Blumberg, a longtime elementary school teacher and principal, and we're as excited and nervous as perhaps they are when they come up to the door. But we always reach out and give them a hug because I feel like I already know them a little bit. Since it began accepting visitors 2 years ago, Bloom's Landing has hosted 30 veterans. Those are your need-to-know news stories for this week. Stay tuned to the Army Life Network Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your new 6th Gen signing out.
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Janet McIntosh.
And I'm your co-host, Paula Swanson. Tonight, we have with us Senior Airman Cameron Futral, and I hope I said that right, Cameron, one of the brave service members of the 822nd Base Defense Squadron, better known as Reaper Team 5, and was featured in the National Geographic Channel special, Inside Combat Rescue.
National Geographic had the opportunity to follow this elite unit as they hunted down a Taliban target that had been planning attacks on Bagram Airfield. Welcome to our show, Cameron. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We sure can. How are you?
I'm really well. How are y'all?
Excellent, excellent. Now, Cameron, when we start these segments, we normally have our guests start off by telling us just a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Okay. Well, I'm Senior Airman Cameron Futral, and I'm calling from Valdosta, Georgia. I'm stationed at Moody Air Force Base, so that's where I'm at tonight.
And where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Woodland, Alabama.
Awesome, Southern girl.
You didn't catch that with y'all?
I know, right?
I love it. I love it. Well, Cameron, that means that you're not too far from home then, are you?
Oh, not at all, and it's actually pretty convenient. So if I ever need you know, go home for anything, I'm right there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, before we dig into your service and, of course, the show, we'd like to know more about you and, like, what do you like to do outside of work? Do you have any hobbies or any interests?
I go to the gym a lot. I pretty much do anything outdoors. I'm very outgoing, one of those people that'll pretty much try anything once. So,
have you bungee jumped?
I haven't been able to do that yet, and I haven't in skydiving yet. I haven't had the opportunity, but as soon as I get that opportunity, I'm going to.
She's all over
no
it.
Fear. Girl
so
has
Cameron,
no fear.
Yeah, hey, that's our amazing military for you. So Cameron, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what influenced you to join the Air Force? I know that I got to spend a little bit of time with you down at Moody Air Force Base when the show premiered, and so I know you have brothers, right?
Yes, I have one little brother, and then I have a little sister.
And how were you influenced to join the Air Force?
Well, I joined after I went to college. I graduated and pretty much had a really hard time finding a job that I was comfortable with doing for in the long run. And so my brother was doing the ROTC program at the college that he was going to, and I remember one day going with him to the recruiter's office, and we had talked, and it kind of got me interested, and I started thinking about it, and I signed up and actually left before he did. So my brother had a big part in influencing me to join. So.
And what was basic like? What was your first impression of it?
My first night there, I'm not even going to lie, probably the first couple nights, I pretty much laid in my bed and cried and was like, what have I done? Like,
I hear you.
What have I done? I want to go home. I don't know. I don't want to do this. I want to go home.
I can hear voices all over the country right now going, yep, been there.
After that first week, I get used to it, and you're just like, okay. And then by that second, third week, you're like, man, let me get my blues, let me put those on, let me see my family, let me graduate. You know, you're counting down the days by that point. And it was kind of funny because my bunkmate, every Sunday, she would look at me and be like, 5 more weeks. 6 more weeks, just every single Sunday. So it was kind of
like your personal countdown.
And I met a lot of awesome people, and a lot of them that I'm still really good friends with. So it was an experience.
Yeah, I remember that first phone call when I was in basic. That first phone call I made home, I think I terrified my mother because I was just like, she's like, I could barely understand what you were saying, and I was just crying, and I was like, I don't know what I did. But then, you know, it was amazing for her, though, because at the end of it, like, as those phone calls progressed, she could see such a huge difference in me, you know what I'm saying, from that first phone call to that last one. So I definitely agree with you. It's quite an experience.
I did the same exact thing. I remember we had probably 15 minutes, and I called 4 people in 15 minutes, and I don't think they understood what they said because I was calling the whole time, but... Yeah, I've been there.
Well, Cameron, I'm going to ask you a question about that, too. What would you tell young ladies today if they were contemplating going into the service? And from your experience, what would you tell them in dealing with basic training?
From my experiences, I pretty much would tell them to go for it. I mean, it has made me such a better person. And I've grown more in the past almost 3 years than I have, like, before I joined. And so the experiences that come along with it, I have been able to use, you know, on a day-to-day basis, and the things that I have learned And I've just grown as a person. So if I had to tell anybody, you know, I would recommend it if it was me. If there was a female, you know, that came up to me and was asking, I would tell them. If that's what they're looking for, then go for it.
It's definitely worth it in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. Now, let me ask you this, Cameron. You brought up the fact, obviously, you're a female service member. Now, for your particular unit, you're one of the few females that belong to that unit. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what that's like?
I'm pretty much looked at as the little sister. I'm older than I am treated like the little sister. I, you know, they have my back and I have theirs. I get picked on, but that's, you know, the little sister goes. So I, you know, I love the people that I work with to death and would do anything for them. So I would do anything for those people.
That's awesome when you can be part of a group like that and just really gel and connect with one another and be like that.
And there's no camaraderie like in the military. I mean,
I have made lifelong friends with, you know, the people at the squadron, and, you know, that is my family. Those are the people that I will have with me when I am away from home and when I am deployed. That is my family. Those are the people
exactly.
that I can go to if I'm having, like, a crazy day, you know, because my friends from back home, they're not there, but my military family is.
That's
awesome. Well, during the National Geographic Channel's special, Inside the Combat Rescue, this was your first deployment. So what were the biggest challenges for you with that?
Probably the biggest challenge was being away from home for so long and with not being able to talk to my family or my friends anytime I wanted to, like, you know, it is here. And the other thing was it's a culture shock. I mean, the way that the culture is over there and the people and everything, it's just, for me, I haven't seen anything like that before. And so, you know, just trying to get over that and the customs, and you just kind of had to learn as you go.
What would you say, like, you know, going out there and this being your first deployment, obviously that's a very unique experience, especially when it's your first time. What would you say was one of the most memorable moments of that deployment?
Leaving. Well, in a bad way. It was just, you know, that pride that you have whenever you're leaving and you're like, you know what, I did this, I made it, I'm going home with everybody that I got here with, you know, we did it, it's, you know, time to go home. And, yeah, that was probably my most memorable moment.
What would you say? Go ahead, Paula.
I was going to say, you also, I'm sure, felt, you know, very prideful in that you had completed something and really contributed while you were there.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was whenever we got back to Georgia, that was a big thing. It was just like, I did it. I actually did it. Like, a couple years ago, if you had told me that I was going to do what I was going to do, I would have been like, you are crazy. There's no way. And, you know, me coming back and being like, yep, I made it. So, which I'm very thankful for.
And did you find what I was going to ask is, you know, so many times it's so weird being in another country. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even just someone visiting Europe, you know, it's very different. What was something that struck you about Afghanistan?
It's a very, very, well, where we were at and the time of year that we were there, it's beautiful. Like, if you were to open up a children's Bible and look at the pictures, that's pretty much what it looks like. I mean, you've got the houses and the mud walls, and it's just, you know, there's fields that are just green, and then the vineyards. Like, it's a very, very beautiful country, like the part that we were in. Scary at times, but the scenery is really pretty.
No, I mean, I think that's a great side, you know, something that our listeners probably don't always get to hear is that, granted, you know, we know why we're over there and we know the seriousness of why we're over there, but at the same time, it's nice to be able to appreciate something about that area. You know what I'm saying?
I have to once you're over there for a while. I just kind of dig down deep and be like, okay, well, this is nice.
Well, Cameron, we are going to have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we want to talk all about the show and talk about your involvement in the special. So don't forget, everyone who's listening, the AWN Core team has some fun discussion taking place, and we also have a giveaway going on in our Twitter chat. So remember, twitter.com/Army Wife Network. We're using the hashtag Army Wife to participate. When we come back, we're going to talk. So we'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Love where you live. When you move into a Corvius home, you'll find more than just convenient on-post housing at 7 Army installations across the country. You'll also find fun family events, upscale fitness centers, resort-style pools, and more. Our award-winning customer service, 24-hour maintenance, and smiling faces are just waiting to welcome you. Love your next home at CorviusMilitaryLiving.com. That's CorviusMilitaryLiving.com.
Yes, it's true. Married for over 18 years, and my wife does not have a diamond ring. And I don't feel guilty about that at all. You see, back in our courtship days, the relationship went through some fits and starts. And that included Joy taking a training assignment for work that took her out of town for 4 months. That separation helped both of us, meaning me, get some clarity about what we wanted to be the future of our relationship. When she got back, things started to get serious. As I was pondering popping the question, I started doing all the requisite research on engagement rings. I learned all about the 4 C's of diamonds that your jeweler uses in their advertising: color, cut, clarity, and carats. They always forget to mention the 5th and biggest C, cost. Until they have put enough sample rings on her finger, she's picked out her favorite, and the emotional hook has been set. In order to prepare myself for the sticker shock, tradition says to expect to save up to 2 months of salary. I got a few catalogs and tried to guess what she might want. Yikes! How could something that small cost that much? Since I'm the kind of person that gathers information right up until the last moment, I asked her to sit down with me in the catalogs I'd collected to give me an idea of what she might want. In sales, there's a strategy called pattern interrupt. I was following the pattern of getting sold on getting married and wasn't at all prepared for the interrupt. Much to my surprise, she calmly told me that she didn't want a diamond. What? When I got over the shock, she informed me that she much preferred emeralds, and that's what I got her. On second thought, I do feel guilty. Guilty of clearly communicating expectations with my bride, guilty of buying her a beautiful emerald ring, and guilty of working with my wife to build a great marriage. Get clear with your spouse, communicate what you want, and you too can be guilty of creating a healthy, wealthy, and hot marriage. This is Certified Relationship Coach Kevin Decker. Thanks for listening to the Relationship Minute on the Army Wife Network. Find practical resources to help you with all of your relationship issues at GetROR.com.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Senior Airman Cameron Futral, one of the heroes of National Geographic Channel's Inside Combat Rescue. Before we went to break, we learned all about Cameron and her service. So now we're going to dig a little bit deeper into the show. So Cameron, why don't we start off by having you tell us how you got involved with National Geographic and becoming a part of the special Inside Combat Rescue, The Last Stand?
Pretty much picked our team. There's different Reaper teams that work, you know, at different times, and I'm not really sure, but for, you know, our team got picked out of all of them for them to follow us. on our missions that we did. So,
And I was going to say, to give our listeners a little bit of background, there was an original special last year entitled Just Inside Combat Rescue, where they were following our pararescue jumpers, or also known as PJs. And this year, when they went back to do that experience again, because we had drawn down our forces in Afghanistan, they were having a hard time kind of coming up with basically missions to follow and stuff. And so they actually heard about you guys. And so that ended up how they chose your Reaper team.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they chose our team, and after that, they, you know, were with us for about a month and went out with us and took the cameras out and all that kind of stuff. So
and can you tell our listeners the reason why they specifically chose you guys, because of your mission?
Well, all the Reaper teams pretty much had the same mission.
Right.
As what we did. Now, you know, why they chose our team and decided to follow us rather than, you know, any other, I'm not really sure, but, there was day teams and night teams, and our team just happened to get picked.
And what was the specific mission that you guys were working on?
Well, as you see in the show, the mission that is showing is we're trying to find this guy named Sabanula, and he was, you know, a big part of the attacks on the base. And so our job was to find him, you know, so there weren't any more attacks, so we wouldn't lose, you know, any more people, because one of the main attacks that he had that he I guess was a part of, we ended up losing, well, not our team, but there was four people that ended up dying from that. So our biggest part was to basically deter any kind of attacks on the base.
Right. So can you tell us a little bit about how the presence of the film crew, having National Geographic there, what kind of impact that had on your overall deployment experience?
It took a little adjusting to get used to all the cameras kind of being in your face. I know in the show, it shows in the truck, you know, that there's a camera literally right next to my head. There was cameras mounted on our helmets. There was cameras mounted all over the truck. And, you know, there was some people had cameras mounted onto their vest for whenever they went out and dismounted. But for the most part, once you got used to the cameras being there, they pretty much kind of, you know, stayed out of your way. It just continued to do your mission like, you know, you were trained, and it really didn't have a negative effect or anything like that with the missions that we went out on. So
it was kind of like GoPro style. Sorry. I'm sorry, Paul. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Okay.
To let our listeners know that the cameras were kind of like those GoPro cameras. I noticed a lot of the footage, especially when you guys were out on missions, seemed to be those type of cameras.
They were. And, you know, everybody pretty much had them. If you went out on a mission, you had a camera hooked to you somehow. So, and then, you know, the cameras that were all in the trucks and all on the outside of the trucks. It was really cool how, you know, most of the footage they got, I mean, from us. So it was neat how they put it together.
I guess in the beginning, too, Cameron, you were very conscientious about all the cameras around you, but as, I guess, you progressed, you just got used to them being around and probably didn't think anything of it after a while, did you?
Pretty much. The only thing that you had to remember to do was, you know, turn it, when you're sitting in the vehicle, turn it off whenever, you know, the people get out, because they had to save the batteries on the cameras. But, yeah, I mean, it pretty much became part of your routine. You know, you get in the truck, turn it on, get out of the truck, turn it off. Like, it was just, you know, it became part of your equipment that you just were using from on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. It became your norm.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. What was your family and your friends' reaction to the show when they were able to see that?
I know my father watched the show 6 times in a row. he was really excited to see it. But it was exciting for me because, I mean, I was able to tell my family some of the things that we were doing. But it's different when somebody tells you and then when you actually see it.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, we could dumb it down and be like, yeah, it was just a normal day, you know, no big deal. And then my mom watches the show and she's like, so that's you were doing that. Yeah, that's, and you were telling me that, oh, just a normal day, but that's what you're, I'm like, yes, mom, that's. So,
well, and I think too, from the civilian perspective, it's such a great opportunity for, you know, people who may not be touched by the military to really see the impact of what you guys are doing over there. You know what I'm saying? What's actually happening over there for you guys?
Right. And I had some friends that were watching it, and they were the same way. It was, you know, I had no idea that's, you know, the job that you were doing over there. And, you know, they were just like, oh, okay. All right. That's pretty cool. So.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, for any of our listeners who may not have seen it, I mean, it's heart pounding, like, to watch you guys do those missions. And there's some scenes in there that just make your heart stop, you know, just biting your nails for you guys. And it really reflects the heroism, you know, of what you guys do each and every day, especially when you're deployed. And I think it's great that people get an opportunity to see you guys doing that work.
Yeah.
Well,
Cameron. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But it was just nice for me to actually let them see, you know, what exactly I did do. So.
I was wondering what your brother, who was the influence in you joining the Air Force, thought about it.
My brother has always been probably my number one supporter. Me and him are very close. There's 3 years difference between the two of us. And he's like, yep, you're my hero. That's pretty awesome. and he's only seen bits of, he hasn't seen the entire show yet. So he's in Germany right now, so he comes home in September, and he'll be able to watch it then. But from the bits and pieces that he's seen, he was like, "Yeah, I need to see this." So.
Oh, that's so awesome! So, Cameron, can you tell our listeners maybe what's in store as far as your future career goals?
I am deploying again very soon. For another 6 months, 7 months, and then I'll come back, and I only have probably about a year left in the military, and then I plan on getting out and working in the civilian world once again. But that's pretty much what I have in store for me coming up. So
what
I'm
do you
excited.
Have in mind for a civilian career?
I want to do some type of contracting. There's a company that I used to work for that has a military division. So it would be really awesome if I could get back into that and do it on the military side of it. So we'll see. Kind of never know with everything that goes on in a military life. Who knows? I might stay in. Might get out. You never really know until the time comes and you're just like, okay, well, this is my decision. So
that's the truth. That is the truth.
Yeah, it changes very much. So you kind of, the best way to do it is kind of making a decision well, not necessarily a decision, but kind of making a goal year by year rather than a five-year plan because it changes so much.
Right, right. Now let me ask you this, Cameron. Do you feel like the deployment changed you at all? Do you feel like maybe, did in any way, shape, or form, do you feel like it changed you?
I do, actually. I feel like it made me a stronger person. I have a stronger personality now. There's a lot of things that before would probably bother me, and I'd probably get upset over, where now it's like, you know, that's not that big of an issue. I guess the best way that I could put it was I feel like I grew up a lot more while I was over there because I had to deal with stuff on my own. I had to take care of myself, you know. I was driving that big truck, and I was, you know, I felt in charge of other people's lives, not just my own. I felt like I grew up a lot while I was over there, which, and my mom, my whole family, and most of my really good friends will tell you that they noticed a difference whenever I did come back home, that I wasn't a completely different person, but I was a different person, and I just seemed to be more of an adult, I guess you could say, than before.
That's just amazing. I you know, having been able to spend some time with you down in Valdosta and having seen the show, you guys did amazing work over there, and this country should be forever grateful for the work that you and your fellow comrades have done over there. For our country and for the people of Afghanistan. You know, you guys did a lot over there to help them as well. I do want to let our listeners know that if they'd like to find out more about Inside Combat Rescue, as we said earlier, you can visit the National Geographic channel on the web. We posted that link, I believe, in our Twitter party chat. You can also follow Nat Geo on Facebook. I'd also like to let our listeners know that I did a feature on Senior Airman Futral on our Loving a Soldier blog, as well as did some inside blogs into taking an in-depth look into Inside Combat Rescue, The Last Stand, and the time that I got to spend at Moody Air Force Base with Senior Airman Futral and the rest of the Reaper Team 5. Some great videos in those blogs. You'll get to see them in action, how they train. You guys do incredible stuff, and it was an absolute honor to get to spend that day with you guys. And we certainly appreciate you being on the show with us tonight, Cameron.
Thank you very much for having me. And I got to give this out, but War Eagle.
You go, girl. Well, thank you so much again, Cameron. You're a true hero, and we appreciate you and your service and your brother's service and your family's service as well to this country.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Cameron.
Bye.
So we want to thank our listeners for being with us tonight. Next week, August 11th, 2014, we'll be featuring Diane Morris Jones, sorry about that, from Mindful Living, One Thought at a Time, so you don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, though, you can always join us at armywifenetwork.com or any of our social media outlets, such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, even Instagram. So if you do Instagram, make sure that you go and look us up and follow us. You can also catch up with many of the bloggers sharing the journey at lovingasoldier.com. We have plenty of interaction for you.
And that's Interactive Empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. And this is Army Wife Network's core team signing out. Have a great week, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.